The news you can use. Warren Pierce. I'm gonna fight them all. A seven nation army couldn't hold me back. They're gonna rip it off. Taking their time right behind my back.
You don't necessarily even know that was the White Stripes, of course, led by Detroiter Jack White. You don't even have to know that. If you go to any college football game, you invariably will hear that through the course of all four quarters, pro football as well. We play that because Jack White opened up a record store down in the Cass Corridor area. And this, after all, today, in case you weren't aware, is Record Store Day, designed to, you know, get music lovers away from streaming MP3s and into the brick and mortar vinyl shops. And on our direct phone line now, the nephew, Jack White, is the uncle to Ben Blackwell, who is the co-owner of Third Man, the Third Man Records over there, right next to Shinola. I drove by there yesterday, Ben. It looked like it was packed, and it was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it wasn't even Record Store Day. How you all doing over there since you created that location?
We're doing well. You know, those are folks lining up in advance. People waiting to get in today. They started lining up yesterday. So that's good for business.
No doubt about it. And I'm gathering what? Your Uncle Jack pretty much performed his first gig, I want to say maybe a mile away?
Yeah, the first time the White Stripes played, they played at the Gold Dollar, which is around the corner up Cass. I don't even think it's a mile. I think it's maybe 0.7 miles. I think I mapped it out once. So yeah, it's a very important neighborhood just in all of our musical history and upbringing and all of that important stuff.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And why is it called the Third Man Records? What's the significance behind that?
So before Jack was a professional musician, he was actually an upholsterer. And when he started his shop, he was actually the third upholsterer to come from the block that he grew up on in Southwest Detroit. So that was the inspiration. In addition to, he was also a big Orson Welles fan, and there's the Orson Welles film, The Third Man. So it was a combination of those two things. So when we started the record label, he said, well, let's change Third Man Upholstery to Third Man Records. Yeah, I think it's the first time an upholstery company has turned into a record company, as far as I can tell.
But not only that, but wasn't he kind of responsible or among the, what should we call it, underground Detroit bands? What were they called? Garage bands that began to make a name for the music they were playing and the groups that they were calling themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd heard someone funnily said, back in the day, they said, you know, I never thought of Detroit as much of like a garage band kind of town because it's too cold in Detroit. Detroit's more like an attic or a basement band kind of thing. You know, you've 5-6 months out of the year, you can't even play in the garage. So, but yeah, no, that's what we all end up getting called, garage bands, and that's fine. There's worse things it could be called.
Yeah, and he came from a big family, didn't he?
Yeah, the youngest of 10 kids.
Wow. And obviously was playing and getting into music and that kind of thing. And if I recall correctly, didn't he marry a woman whose last name was White? Because Jack's name, the family name was Gillis, I think.
I don't know. That sounds like news to me. I don't know.
Really?
Not entirely sure.
Check with him. Did you go over to see the concert on Thursday night at Little Caesars?
Yeah. It was really, really great.
Was anybody angry that they couldn't bring in their smartphones? Because he like others, increasingly, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, folks have been banning cell phones from concerts.
Yeah, I saw, I too, had my cell phone locked. I didn't have to, but I wanted to, you know, take part in the idea, and I loved it. And at one point I went to go get mine unlocked out in the lobby. You know, you can unlock it and check, you know, if the babysitter's freaking out or there's been some horrible accident. And there was a lady next to me who was just muttering under her breath, this is unacceptable, never again. And she was freaking out because she had her tickets on her phone, and she got in. She was able to use her phone to get into the building, but then they immediately locked up her phone, and she didn't write down where her tickets were. So she walked all the way around and realized she had to come back. But other than that, I had not seen any real significant or legitimate complaints about it. Most thing I've heard is people loving it and really, really into it. So I think it's only positive.
Did your Uncle Jack White say anything about that as the concert began? I think it lasted through to about midnight, didn't it, Thursday night?
Yeah, I think it was about a little shy of 2 hours, maybe. I mean, he loves it. You know, they've done it for a couple smaller shows building up. They did a little test run, some shows up in Nashville and New York and stuff like that. And he loves it. He's got no issue with it. So and I think people are getting on board.
Did they save Seven Nation Army for last?
He did. Actually, he did, yeah. We were standing inside stage, me and my wife, and she's pregnant and, you know, standing on her feet this whole time, and he started to play Seven Nation Army. She's like, the parking garage is going to be so packed. Like, how many more songs? Like, he can't play a song after this. This is the last song, I promise you. Because he famously doesn't play with a set list, so, you know, you never know what's going to come next. But yeah, you can't play a song after Seven Nation Army. It just doesn't work that way.
All right, back to your Third Man Records over there now on Canfield, right next door to Shinola, on this record store day when independent record store owners like you, Ben Blackwell, are trying to bring people in so they get away from... there was what, the 8-track that came out after records, and then there were CDs, and now you can download them. Why? And I think Jack first went to Nashville and opened up a record store down there before eventually deciding to open up the one there in the Cass Corridor area.
Yeah, that is correct. That is all correct. There were 8-tracks after vinyl. You are correct in your timeline.
And it wasn't he upset about what was going on in Detroit and why, you know, I'm going down to Nashville and I'm going to set up a record store here, because he wasn't, you know,
well,
so
no, it didn't.
Something was bugging him.
He moved to Nashville. He didn't move to Nashville to set up a record store. He moved to Nashville, and then a couple years later, he decided to open a record store. So that's why I moved to Nashville, to help do that, to open this record store that was a conjunction record label as well. So mainly the idea was to put out records. And literally the day before we opened the label, we realized we had a storefront in our building. We said, well, let's throw some records in there and see if people will want to buy them. And it very, very quickly became the public-facing focus of the company. People want to come and buy records. And so we kind of just followed that, you know, where it led us.
Why are they saying that they want to buy vinyl records again?
I think there's something incredibly impersonal about digital files, and possibly even CDs a little bit too. But digital files and streaming, no one's ever said, "Hey, come check out my MP3 collection." it's convenient. But it is not engaging, I would say. And so people, you know, you talk about now, people want experiences. They want to be more engaged, and I think vinyl just plays to that better than just about anything else could.
And what's interesting, and there can't be more than a dozen or two dozen locations around the United States, you're pressing your own vinyl records in, what, 10,000 square feet in the back of the Third Man Records over there on Canfield?
That is correct. Yeah, we built a pressing plant. We bought all new, you know, they didn't even make new record presses for about 30 years, but we got all brand new presses, some of the first ones ever made. And I think it's less than two dozen plants. There's a couple ones all, you know, scatter out, people that weathered the storm. Archer Records over on Davison in Detroit has been there since 1965. Always shout them out and give them credit, because if they didn't stick around, we might not even be here right now. So, but yeah, it's a great time. It's a great time. A lot of people are getting into it.
No doubt about that. Although they scratch. MP3s don't scratch, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, CDs scratch, and
yeah,
people
lose
hard drives, too. So, you know, MP3s, there's I've yet to find a foolproof medium for music. So all that considered, vinyl works for me, and seems like a lot of other people feel the same way.
All right. Record store day. Go observe it. What time are you guys going to open over there, Ben?
I think we're going to crack the doors open at 10. You know, we got limited edition records by Frank Wilson, who is a great Motown producer, one of the rarest 45s ever in the Motown catalog, Do I Love You? Indeed I Do. And we've got new records by a band called Sleep that people freak out about. All kinds of good, crazy merchandise, T-shirts, all kinds of fun stuff down at Third Man Records today.
And very quickly, Ben, why is Seven Nation Army, that it was the White Stripes back then, why is that so popular and so often used during especially college football games?
You know what? We figured out pretty early on, we saw the band, the White Stripes, playing a festival and playing that song, and we realized that there's no chorus to the song. The chorus is a riff, and that makes it extremely chantable. And, you know, it's kind of, I think that is somewhere in the DNA that figures into it. And also, it's just, you know, you could never, if you tried to write a song like that,
yeah,
that would get chanted, no one would ever, it wouldn't work. You kind of just have to write a song, and it takes on a life of its own.
All right, very quickly, do a little chanting of that song for us, Ben.
I forget how it goes.
Come on, Ben. Come on.
I think it's like dun 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 dun. That's the one you're talking about, right?
Yep.
Smoke on the Water.
Yeah, right. A Seven Nation Army couldn't hold me back.
This one.
Yeah.
We were talking about Deep Purple this whole time.
Have a good day at Record Store Day, there, Ben.
All right, you too.